Discussions with Ajahn Suchin and Gangwajan, January 2014. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Phil, Sarah, John, Thambat, Maeve, Anne, Nina, and other friends.
Discussion. Yeah, and Sarah jotted down some points that we would discuss again from last afternoon. So
we had about a 2-hour discussion. It was
nice.
About the present moment.
Oh, nice. Yeah. The most precious moment to be known.
Yeah, the only moment.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful to be sitting with Nina. It's my first time to meet Nina.
And I'm so happy to meet
you. Yeah.
I had a bad dream, a nightmare, where I came, but I couldn't meet Nina for some reason.
So now it's
an honor that I wasn't your dream.
So now it's best dream.
Yeah.
One of the things we were talking about yesterday, we talked about Pariyatti and what Pariyatti was,
yes.
and then you know, sort of book learning, more academic learning, and then we started talking about the conditions for some of the conditions for the development of understanding, and one of them is hearing the Dhamma, meeting the wise person, hearing the Dhamma, and then considering and wise reflection. And we were wondering more about hearing the Dhamma. When we say hearing the Dhamma from the wise person, many people would have heard the Buddha speak and teach, but may not have appreciated it, and it didn't mean anything to them. And others heard the Buddha's words and were able to understand quickly, and that's because of the development, previously developed paññā, understanding. So when we talk about hearing the Dhamma, it
doesn't mean just sound.
Right. Right. So it needs to hear it with some, there must be accumulations for understanding.
To know that that's the teachings of the Buddha. Otherwise, mm-hmm. when one heard about it, how can one know that it's the teachings of the Buddha mm-hmm. without any understanding?
Yes, that is clear. I think what it comes back to this question, it seems like it's an age-old question in this group about Pariyatti. Can there be, is there a level of understanding at which one could hear the Dhamma, even for the first time in this life, and be attracted to hearing more that is not yet at the level of Pariyatti?
Why do you have to think about the term Pariyatti? What about listening to the truth right now? Is that not Pariyatti?
Well, I guess that's part of the question. Listening to the truth right now.
Yes, the truth of whatever appears.
Okay, the truth mm-hmm. of whatever appears now.
Otherwise, it would never be Pariyatti at all, because it doesn't bring any understanding of whatever appears. So even that word should be cleared.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, one take it for just reading.
Yes.
And take it for Pariyatti, but it's not at all.
And I think.
Because in the Buddha's time, he didn't write anything at all, but he taught verbal teachings.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone who came to see him listened to what he taught. So at this moment, it's exactly the same, like Buddha was here,
mm-hmm.
and we came to see him
mm-hmm.
and listen to his teachings.
And if one can listen.
Yes.
And appreciate even at a level where there's only a little bit of understanding.
Because it's all about whatever appears now.
Mm-hmm.
What he taught is that which now is appearing no matter when.
Mm-hmm.
That is the meaning of Pariyatti.
Is it important to know what is Pariyatti?
I think that if we don't use the word Pariyatti, it doesn't matter at all. If we just talk about whatever appears now.
I heard recently, I think this is the one line that I've heard that is so important for me. What is important is to know what is real and what is not real, more firmly.
Mm-hmm.
And quite often you use the word firmly.
Right.
What does that mean, to know more firmly?
Okay, if I would say all realities are dhammas, firm?
Not yet.
Not yet. So that's the meaning of firmly established. Not just hear about the word and not understanding what it's about. For example, no matter how many, many times one hear about the word Dhamma, what about right now? See, it's not in one's head at all that it's now Dhamma. But at that very moment, not forgetting that it's whatever appears. So we are talking, learning to understand whatever appears now. And it indicates that there is not much understanding and so great of avicca, not understanding. Because now we're talking about seeing. What about the understanding of it? See, vicca, understanding, or avicca, ignorance. And this is the way to learn to understand whatever appears, and this only is pariyatti.
For me, there's only thinking about what is now.
And if one is not taught or to understand that the teachings of Buddha is all about that which appears, and he used the Pali term, the Makati, because people in the old days spoke that language while listening to him. Only that, like, I can speak in Thai about realities like the Buddha taught in Makati about realities exactly the same. And you in English, see, just about reality. So pariyatti doesn't mean reading or just hearing, but understanding what it is about, like Dhamma. Now, whatever is real is that should, which should be known or studied carefully. And we can see that we underestimate the meaning of studying. Buddha said before he died not to be heedless in studying or hearing too. It's so very deep, very subtle. Otherwise he wouldn't be the enlightened one at all. So even Dhamma we have heard many, many times, but not now to know that it's a reality yet, until Panya develops.
But I think the master also wants us to study.
Lopa. To understand.
Lopa.
Not just Lopa. Whatever is real.
But I, when I say the master, I think of Lopa.
Not Lopa. The Buddha. Not the Buddha.
For me, the big boss is Lopa.
And the great teacher?
The great teacher is Buddha.
Okay.
But I have to recognize the
but
master.
But can you recognize with our listening to the great teacher?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And no selection at all. For example, right now, we can talk about avicca, ignorance. Because there is avicca. And who knows that together with avicca is lopa. See? We don't understand seeing as it is, not knowing is avicca. Can anyone see attachment to seeing right then? Or there is no understanding. So the best thing to have less attachment is having more right understanding only. Nothing else can clarify or clean up or wash away the ignorance and or unwholesomeness reality.
Can we say that it's almost impossible to know attachment to seeing until, directly know it, until one knows seeing as seeing?
No rule at all. Otherwise it's atta, which hinders instantly. The self is there. If it cannot go this way, it goes the other way all the time, leading all the way out of reality which appears now. No rule. Just listen about whatever is said and understand. Like ignorance. What else can have, can get rid of ignorance? Even right now, it's the citta, citta-sikas arise and fall away in split seconds, unknowingly all the time. And we just talk about realities. So each word must be carefully learned to know that it's here and now, like visible object. Like Kunal just said one Sunday or Saturday, I couldn't remember. Do you know me, Kunfil? Really? But you don't know visible objects. So, see? Until there's no one at all, no thing at all, in just that which can impinge on the eye base and citta arises to see it, then fall away. So it cannot be anyone at all. What is left now is only the sign of realities, no matter it's seeing or hearing or thinking. So it's not easy, even pariyatti. Because if there is more and more understanding of what pariyatti is, it will carefully lead one to understand the nature of it. Little by little, unknowingly again, always unknowingly. Because it's the function of Sankhara Khanda, not anyone, all 50 Chetasikas.
But there are so many conditions to want to take shortcuts and find
your master.
The master. Yeah. He's always pushing. I don't know why I say he.
Yeah, and ignorance is underlined.
You asked, I think, Kuntadao from Japan, do you see yourself in the mirror? And you said ignorance isn't satisfied with visual object. Ignorance wants to see more and think more. And I wondered why that would be ignorance and lopa working together.
Ignorance does not like or dislike. It cannot understand anything. Whatever appears now, see, it's like the flash arising and falling away. Ignorance experiences that without understanding. And it can be accompanied by lopa, attachment. But that cannot be known by the self or someone or anyone. Only right understanding which has been developed to that degree which can understand that.
Some people, like Phil say, they don't really mind whether it's pariyatti or not, right? They just like to read the texts or study the suttas and never mind whether there's any understanding or not, or whether it's pariyatti or not. Would you like to put it in your own words?
I wouldn't say never mind whether there's understanding, but no attachment to expecting an understanding to come from it, but eventually everything becomes Sankhara Khanda. Whatever we read or think about can become Sankhara Khanda for understanding to arise. And personally, I don't know why this is, but when I think about this moment, it feels like my
certainly
thing and my, whereas if I read the story about Dhammas, it's more,
it's I who is reading.
But there's somehow it feels like there's less expectation, but that's,
it's there as long as there is no understanding, because at moment of seeing, before you can understand the story, it's there already.
Yeah. We we were talking, I was giving an example, the idea that Pariyatti should be of the reality now. The example I often mention is I learned, for example, and I learned that dosa and domanasa are two separate realities. And I'm not trying to sort out which is which, but that was an interesting thing to learn about and fascinating, even though there isn't dosa now. And I thought that was a good example of reflecting on something I read, even though it's not now.
After reading or hearing, is there any idea about I have read, I have anger or attachment, but it's not the understanding of what is heard? Because you see that after hearing many, many, it might be lines or sentences or sutta or the whole story, they are not left. They are gone completely. So what is left is the idea of the Dhamma. And at that moment, it can be considering just Dhamma. Not that I have heard this, so I have developed such and such understanding of no self, all concerned self. But at the moment of thinking over the reality to have clear understanding or clear comprehension, that is not self. So people can come and listen to the teachings with the idea of me listening. And after that, oh, I'm better just a little bit now, or I have less attachment or aversion or ignorance, but that is still I. So I think that the understanding is not that way at all. It's just understand and then leave it to conditions because of the understanding of the anatthaness of all realities, no matter what.
But whether we happen to read something or watch TV, that's all anatta as well. So right. The reading happens
so
due
depends.
To conditions as well.
It depends on understanding, but not my understanding.
Phil would say, like he said yesterday in the discussion, well, I'm just using those words, I and me, conventionally, and of course we all know that it's anatta, really. Is that right?
That sounds like excuse that I know I understand, but I have to use such words. But actually, no, don't be afraid to use any term like I or me with understanding.
Yeah, well, that's the way I feel. If I say I read about Domanasa,
it's all right.
It can,
yeah.
There can be understanding,
yeah.
And it's and it probably usually there is I involved. There's no way for us to know, I don't think.
But the idea that, oh, I have read it, oh, I understand better, that is reading with the idea of I want to have more understanding.
It's like I want to have more understanding for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's mine.
Yeah.
It's
uh-huh.
I think a good example for me, this personally, this is interesting because it's exactly 10 years, who cares, since I joined DSG.
Only 10 years.
And the first question I asked to, I found the post actually recently, the first time I asked a question to DSG was I had read about the paramis and I'd read about the factors of enlightenment, and I asked, okay, how do I do this? What do you guys do? How should I go about it?
And that is not the understanding.
No.
Because it's how I.
So now the I is not so clear, but it's still there, subtly, of course.
Until the sotapatthimakkacitta arises.
Yeah.
So Panya is keener and keener to see the I at the moment when it is there, no matter how big or small it is.
And this is
right now, even as big, it's not seen.
And this is exactly why there has to be understanding of what Pariyatti is, and it has to come back to reality now. Otherwise, no other way to get rid of that idea of I.
I can understand why it has to be about reality now, but why does it have to be Pariyatti again?
Because otherwise we read and we study and we think that it's Pariyatti, we think that it's right understanding because we're reading the Dharma, we're reading the text, we're working out the difference between dosa and domanasa, but actually it's, there's no understanding at any level about reality, because it's still my study and my improved behavior and my increased understanding, and now I know about dosa and domanasa. It's not actually any understanding about seeing now or thinking now or dosa at this moment. It's just a dhamma, just conditioned dhamma.
But I don't think there could be any understanding of dosa at this moment if there hadn't been reflecting on what the Buddha taught about dosa when there wasn't dosa at the time. I don't think we can suddenly understand dosa out of the blue in the middle of dosa without having reflected on it at a time when there was a more...
Is that anatta?
Everything's anatta.
No rule.
No rules.
Yeah, so I think that it, when just the word pariyatti should be understood clearly. For example, like the word dhamma and the word nama and rupa, it sounds like there is the understanding of all these words because it's just the word, but not the understanding of realities at all. So I think that, for example, dhamma, it means no one there in reality. It's just a characteristic of a reality which appears, right? And if someone will say that dhamma is this and that, this and that, and they don't talk about whatever appears now, it means that no understanding. So can we say that no pariyatti? See? So we don't just use the word pariyatti and think that we understand that. But it has to be moment of understanding what pariyatti is. Like now, see? Seeing is seeing now. Is there any understanding of it? And if there is no talking about it at all, can it lead to the understanding of seeing? So we don't have to have someone told us, this is pariyatti, no need. But it's one's understanding. That sense is not the direct understanding. It is just what it's called, pariyatti, or no need to call it, but it's not that level of understanding with direct awareness. Otherwise, we use the word, any word like we understand it. Oh, it's pariyatti, but what does it mean? Not understanding directly any reality which appears with another level of sati, because all dhammas have different and various level. So be careful of any word, study with respect of the words of the Buddha. Otherwise, it's like reading someone's words, books. But when it's the teachings, each word means a lot, even pariyatti. We don't have to talk about just word like dhamma. And even nama and rupa, we heard a lot about two different types of realities, even right now. And we can repeat, seeing is nama, whisper object is rupa, hearing is nama, and sound is rupa. See, but it's not one's own understanding of the characteristic of reality, which is nama, as nama. For example, we say seeing is nama, and the moment when there is the beginning of understanding the characteristic which sees is different. So it does mean that anyone who says that seeing is nama understand seeing, not at all. So each word brings more and more understanding, and how subtle it is. Like, it seems like there's not much explanation or the words to talk about seeing, but actually so many, many words about it in order to really begin to develop the understanding of it, just begin to understand, to develop the understanding directly. So even the word nama, we say many times a day, but no understanding of the characteristic of any reality as Nama until there is more and more pariyatti or understanding from hearing, no expectation, understanding the anatomies of all dhammas, then it can be conditioned. It can be, but depends on it, whether it conditioned or not. But at that moment, there can be, there can be, there can be, but it depends on moment of directly understanding it. So even nama is taught, but what about the understanding of that characteristic at moment of being aware? Because the words just help one to see the difference between the two, but not the exact moment of understanding it.
I find it very difficult to understand how there can be understanding of the characteristic of seeing or hearing, especially seeing it, visible object. I understand it's always appearing, but the actual nama that is seeing is a dark Chitta, it's in the dark, and the any idea of the characteristics of that nama is just beyond my.
That's why I think that we cannot go beyond the seeing and realities right now to the details so much that we are attached to. Only story. Just want to hear more about them by way of Ariyasaccha or Paticchasamuppada. Useless, because they're just only words. But when there is the understanding, no matter about Ayatana or Paticchasamuppada or whatever subject, it conditions the understanding of no self. That's all. So one can see that in this life, it depends on conditions to understand reality as one has heard.
So when Ajahn is talking about study, or when the Buddha is talking about study, and this relates to Hung's question about details, also study doesn't mean just learn all the details about Paticchasamuppada or read all the different kinds of cheaters involved in processes. It means begin to understand what appears now. That is the study that is taught about.
But I think there can be, when we're studying, there can be a sense of, in my own case, for example, I've never studied Paticchasamuppada. As soon as I saw it, I said, no, this is way beyond my understanding. I feel there can be a sense that we can kind of relax. And when we read, we can kind of sense where our understanding is ready to go and where it isn't. And that's always changing. And I think it's very anatta. And I don't believe that reading about Dhamma has to be obsessively trying to sort out this and that. I think it can be a part of a process where understanding is gradually, gradually developing. We learn the same. I've asked Nina so many times about the same dhammas, because I hear it one time and I forget, and I think that's okay. It's just a process. So sometimes I feel that Sarah is talking about book study in a way that's very obsessive and about memorizing lists, and I don't think everybody does it that way.
Even when we just open a book to study now, there may or may not be any understanding. So I'm not talking just about people who memorize lists. I'm talking about for us, when we open books and we're trying to work out the meaning, or we're considering this or that, is there study? Because study is not anything to do with the book. It's not the book. It's about the reality at this moment, regardless. Like Tom said yesterday, people have different accumulations. No one is saying, don't read the book, don't read about Paticchasamuppada, but what is the reality at this moment is what it has to come back to. And would you like to ask your question? You said at the end you want to ask about what the purpose of studying details is, why study details. Would you like to ask it?
Actually, Sarah has already asked my question, because study Dhamma in detail is very complicated and too difficult for us. For example, the Pali words and the concept of the Dhamma words. So we sometimes almost we confuse of the new concept. Yes, and
because of not enough understanding of Dhamma.
Yes, of course.
Anyone who doesn't have any understanding of Dhamma and read Tipitaka, no understanding. But anyone who understands Dhamma can read it and understands it as just right now, reality which appears. Even Patijasamupada, avijja is now. And this is the difference between people in the Buddha's time and today's, because they had no doubt about realities at the moment when Buddha spoke about realities. But for us, we listen and we take just the word only and take it forward like reality or nama or rupa. Only the beginning of the teachings. And for those who have accumulated enough to understand more, they can read more with understanding. But for the person who doesn't have enough accumulation, it's impossible to just understand by hearing or reading. Many people in the mirror. But the reality is just one that can be seen only.
I liked when you were talking with Lucas, and he said, and I can appreciate that, he couldn't understand that there were no people. He was sitting and talking with his Dhamma friends. And you said, what about behind the scene, citta and chattasika? Mm-hmm. And I thought behind the scene was a very good expression to lead us towards the truth.
From life to life, mm-hmm. Realities are behind the scene. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, there will be no idea about trees and people at all if citta, chattasika do not arise. Mm-hmm.
And Phil thinks that Nina and we talk too much about now and reality now and present moment, and because there must be a lot of loba trying to understand it.
I think there are accumulations. I shouldn't say my accumulations, I guess, but there
what
are
about you?
There are accumulations
but
that
it's
lead.
You cannot say the others.
Well, I thank you. That I like to say my accumulations, but I was scolded yesterday a little bit for it. Not scolded, but
no, I think we were just pointing out that actually we're just pointing out that we have to talk about my accumulations and your accumulations. Because what this loba is not that loba, but we were saying that in the ultimate sense, when we're thinking in terms of my behavior, my accumulations, actually there are just dhammas. Right.
But there are accumulations that lead to trying, and I think everybody has different accumulations, and I sometimes wonder if they can be cultural too in our Western society. There's an idea of in this one lifetime there's so much to achieve, and we're born into that. Mm-hmm. But I have a lot of accumulations for wanting and trying, and I just feel that sometimes my friends...
Not only you.
Sure. When
everyone.
When I first met you and all my friends at DSG, I was so impressed because there was such patience about progress, because any other teacher always teaches in a way that stresses progress. And I really appreciate that there's the courage to be patient about what can or will develop in this one lifetime. And I had some feeling recently that I was being pushed. This was the way I was reading it, that I was being pushed a little bit more to try to understand the present reality. And that's my perception and how I felt.
So now you know who pushed you.
Yeah. The master. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just a perception, and I know that.
And I think Nina said... I think Nina said at the time, no one else can push, only
right.
one's lonely
right.
over.
Ajahn, just earlier you said about I'm sorry, I forgot who it was, but you asked them, do you know me, do you know the others, but do you know visible object? Can we say that the naturalness that comes from recognizing each other is because at a conventional level we are recognizing characteristics,
yes.
characteristics of
mm-hmm.
yourself and,
yeah.
and each other, and that this is the same process in terms of very gradually recognizing the characteristics of reality. So
the nimitta, the succession of the arising and falling away. Because if we just talk about one reality, it's impossible
yes.
to recognize.
Essentially, though, it is about that naturalness of knowing the realities through the characteristics.
Also, should be known as Dhamma, not self.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, as natural as just recognizing each other.
Everything should be known because it's real and it's a part of samsara. Without each of it, there will never be samsara.
And just returning to Pariyatti for a moment, something that you just said before, I was really struck by, because it sounded as if part of Pariyatti is...
It is Pariyatti, that moment of understanding reality, not just the word, book, number. So when we talk about seeing and the conditions for its arising and so on, it's Pariyatti because we know that it's about seeing right now.
Yes.
Even we don't name or call it Pariyatti, it is
yes.
because it's not the direct understanding with direct awareness.
And so Pariyatti must also be about knowing when direct experience is not there.
Right understanding mm-hmm. about realities.
Yes, and knowing when that is not occurring.
When it's not the moment of direct awareness, mm. it is Pariyatti. When
yes.
there is thinking or
yes.
considering and understanding better about Pariyatti, but not the direct understanding of our reality.
If
like
we
now it's Pariyatti.
And yet, having said that, I'm reflecting that if we say that Pariyatti is also knowing when there is not direct experience, that implies that there must be some understanding of direct experience. Or is that
understanding about direct experience, that it's not now, when it's not direct awareness.
At the
awareness,
level, sorry, yeah. Okay, okay.
And without it, no condition for direct awareness or patipatti. That's why Buddha taught for 45 years just to be conditions for direct awareness of anyone who has heard about the teachings about realities, that it cannot arise at will. But by hearing more about the details of the reality, it will condition that moment because of the accumulation of theoretical or intellectual understanding.
Could you explain again about the accumulation of theoretical
or intellectual or understanding when it's not direct understanding?
Is there a difference between theoretical and intellectual understanding?
I think that it's the word only, because in Pali it is pariyatti. Mm-hmm. So it depends on what you think about that.
Mm. Speaking of pariyatti, I had an edition of the Visuddhimagga, and at the glossary at the back, under the definition of pariyatti, it said the text or mastery. And I don't know if you would know what it meant. I don't know why it said mastery for pariyatti.
It depends on understanding. When there is understanding, no matter what it said, which word.
Maybe mastery has to do with the firmer, the understanding becoming firmer.
Anything which is not the direct understanding of a reality, of a correction of a reality, is pariyatti. Even from the very beginning up to that moment, to be conditioned for direct awareness.
And patipatti is direct awareness of a characteristic.
Yes, that.
Is patipatti the same as satipatthana?
What is sati?
Sati See. Is... I don't understand sati at all, really.
See?
I heard you say once, too soon for sati.
That's it, because even sati is not known. So there must be doubt about sati and satipatthana. Mm.
So there's no point really asking about satipatthana.
It's different from sati, which arises at moment of understanding intellectually.
And all moments of kusala have sati. Mm-hmm. Interested in the Dhamma too.
You mean the fly?
I remember.
Is he hearing the teachings?
Yeah. Hearing is hearing, no matter it's fly or not fly.
But no understanding.
Mm-hmm. Just hearing, because hearing itself cannot understand.
I was wondering about the difference between hearing consciousness and seeing consciousness. Again, getting back to the idea that all cittas except visible object, they're all the dark citta. And I was almost wondering if the actual hearing citta and the seeing citta would be very similar in some way, just knowing, just experiencing an object.
But they are different by conditions. Mm-hmm. Can anyone have the nama, that which experiences arise at will? That's the way to understand the difference between seeing and hearing.
Different conditions.
I hear the sound, but I don't know whether it's what language and what it's about. See, just hearing.
Usually we think all the time about it. Straight away the thinking comes in and we forget about hearing just the sound.
Yeah, Dhamma.
Yes.
Curious is Dhamma. It has to be so natural. So very, very natural.
Yes, otherwise one thinks, okay,
better not go. Otherwise, Lopat cannot be seen. It's there. It has to be very, very subtle.
Shows even when one's talking about Dhamma, one can think about many different things any time.
By conditions.
By conditions. Yeah. So
just
many different.
Just once in lifetime and never come back, even start thinking.
Yes. No, no rule at all. So one can have so many different interests even during a discussion. Yeah. One can think about the kinds of food or what's the television program.
Otherwise the master will pull one's back. Yeah.
Think, I should only think about the Dhamma or I should only think about the meaning of the words, not just understand whatever appears at those times.
More and more courageous, Parami.
Courageous
to understand,
just allow
to be natural,
things to roll on naturally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, against the master's
against
word.
The master. Yeah. Thank you.
Again, whatever appears, rather. Again, it's whatever appears now, not what is in the book, or and no rule at all.
Yeah.
So if one's in the middle of explaining about the meaning of Pariyatti and then one has curiosity about what the television program is, that's natural because just dhammas, just curiosity is a dhamma, lobha is a dhamma. So any reality, any time, unexpectedly.
Until all are dhammas by conditions, because even now it's not I who is speaking, but the elements, that which thinks, that which condition, the sound, the voice, see, all dhammas must be known in order to have less and less attachment to the self or the idea of self until it's completely eradicated.
Getting dark.
Not as dark as Avicca.
See, and that is the beginning of the Samuppada, but it's the Samuppada. Achan explained it
once, and it's very natural in daily life, beginning with ignorance, so we can just start with the beginning, and then little by little we see that it is this moment that pertains to this moment.
That's good. As usually people want to work out the whole chain, and I think I tried to do that once, and I just said, no, this isn't the way
to
go.
That's the other extreme.
Yeah. Yeah. But just one reality at a time.
Yeah. And one extreme is, this is not for me.
No, that's a good reminder, John. It's true. That's just kind of mana or thinking, no, I'm not.
No, I think you're just probably reacting against other people who do think they can figure out the whole paticca-samuppada, and you're right to think that that's not possible. But on the other hand, paticca-samuppada is about the present moment, and to understand how the present moment relates to paticca-samuppada and to be open to that is the way to go.
Could I ask you to say more about ignorance as...
Yes.
and as the one reality of
I'd like to hear about it too.
Each one now is doing whatever by conditions. Otherwise, how can that be the accumulation known as it's accumulated? For example, the curiosity is a reality. If it does not arise, how can it be known as not self? So don't mind at all. Whatever happens, even the move of the finger or the hand or whatever, is done by accumulation.
What about ignorance?
And not understanding that and try to stop it to arise, but that is not the way to understanding it. Because the development of right understanding is the path leading to the eradication of anusaya, not just the attachment or aversion which is conditioned arising right now, because it arises and falls away. No need to do anything to try not having it arise again, because it has to arise by conditions. But the way to understand it as not self is moment when whatever arises, and it's not I who is aware at all at that moment. Awareness is quicker than anyone else. You don't have to think, it's there already. All realities are like that, just arise by conditions before we can think to do or to have it arise. More and more understanding of the subtlety of the accumulation of reality as no self. And at this moment of understanding, it's the path leading to have less and less ignorance and attachment by Sankarakana, not by anyone at all.
Like when you say to us, oh, you must have a lot of attachment to understanding the present moment or something like that, I don't think about it or I'm not concerned because there's lots of attachment in a day. It's just a dharma. It doesn't matter at all. It can be known when it appears. So it's not a matter of, oh, forget the present moment because there must be attachment. Because any dharma has to be known at the present moment, even attachment or curiosity or ignorance.
And actually, it's gone completely. But still, sanya, remember and think about it again and again. See, like curiosity. Yeah, completely gone.
What about sila bhatta paramasa? Yeah. I think even in a moment of trying to know a reality, there can be sila bhatta paramasa.
It is.
So the meditators who you meet will talk about, well, I can see the lopa, so it doesn't matter. So it almost sounds like you were saying the same thing for a moment there.
Because it's trying, so that needs to be known as it is. That needs to be known as wrong view and wrong practice when it arises. And it's a reality too, and also gone as well. So it's also a reality. Otherwise, it's still clinging to my lobha, my sila bhatta paramasa, my wrong view, and clinging on to that.
But not so to worry.
Worry is useless. It's a matter of developing understanding, not of worrying or trying not to have it or trying to change it or trying to stop it, but just understanding what appears very naturally.
I feel that I'm inclined, my accumulations maybe, to push it away when I see something ugly in myself. It's ugly, I don't want it. But that's not the way, because then Panya will never know it. I know, it's wrong, but I do.
That's why Panya takes time to see that it's not you at that very moment. Otherwise, you will do that again and again. And what's meant by the meditator?
I wouldn't want to speak for the meditator, but I guess what is understood by the meditator this day and age is trying to follow practices in order to create better conditions for understanding to arise. But for those of us who appreciate a more patient approach, it feels like people are just trying to speed up and take shortcuts to have more panya and more.
So in reality, what is the meditator?
In reality, panya is the meditator. It's bhavana.
As long as one take it for meditator, it's not panya.
Well, I thought when you said in reality, what is the meditator? What is the dhamma that is mental development or development of understanding? So I thought that would be panya.
Not wrong understanding?
Well, developing understanding. Well, again, the meditator, if we're talking about the conventional understanding.
Are we the meditators?
We are interested in bhavana, which is developing of understanding, if I understood correctly.
So when you talk about the meditators whom you are speaking about?
Not people, the others. Yeah, people, the others.
I think that as long as the idea of a meditator, it's not sati and not panya at all. Because it's so natural to know that no one, at the moment when there is the awareness of a reality, at that moment, the right understanding sees that it's not I who's there, who is aware. And so as long as there is the idea of the meditator, it means someone trying to develop understanding so hard by some system or rules. But when there is right understanding says that no expectation for time for awareness, an object of awareness. Awareness quicker, the quickest moment, like seeing, it arises, hearing arises as quick as that. So it's not me or I or anyone who is aware at all. And that is the beginning of developing the understanding of even awareness is anatta. So it's quite different from thinking about the meditator, not just the learner or panya and sati develops. Otherwise, the other might take us for the meditators. So, yeah.
But if there's a moment
or no, not meditators.
So if there's a moment of silabhata paramatta when we're trying, we are the meditator at that moment.
I think that it depends on whether you like to use that word or not.
I'd rather
but
not.
Usually people take meditators different from daily life.
There are about to be moments of sila parama, patta paramasa, as long as we are not sotapanna anyway. But if you have heard about the right way to develop, then that can condition the moments of right understanding. And it's just interesting when you make the point about like when we try to attend to the present moments, even then it's low, but it sounds like the way the meditator is doing. And I think that it's not really the suggestion that we should try to be aware. I think it's very natural, like when you say we hear about the Dhamma, about dosa or dumanasa, and then we reflect about it even though it doesn't arise. And I think it's very natural because we all have the habit to think about concepts. But when you can be pointed out that only the what appears can be understood, so that can be the condition for it to arise naturally. So anyway, it's no one to do anything.
That's so useful because I said, usually I don't think really, I know now or I understand now, but still there is the idea of self, and Ajahn explained that, and that is Sila Bhatta Paramasa, but I understand a little only of it, not quite.
When
that,
is
that it's still me, even if I don't think now, I know better or I am better.
When it's wrong path, it's Sila Bhatta Paramasa. When it's not wrong path, it's Titti, wrong understanding.
Like you gave a good example earlier when you said trying not to have akusala, that's Sila Bhatta Paramasa.
Wrong practice. So the difference between that and wrong practice, I haven't got that because I thought that Sila Bhatta Paramasa is also a form of ditti or a way of ditti.
At that very moment, when you try,
yeah.
It's not the other moment when you don't think about it, but there is ditti.
Oh, so the other moment, when I don't think about it, there is ditti.
Like now, see?
Just not thinking so much about it, no?
Mm-hmm. Who can say that after seeing there is ditti or no ditti, see? It can be just attachment to the sense object, which is experienced, or there is wrong understanding, asava, vidyasava. So who knows? Only panya can know. So if it's trying to know, it's wrong understanding. Wrong path of Sila Bhatta Paramasa.
Yes.
Now trying to know whether it is Kamasava or Tidasava.
Yes. Difficult point.
It has to be more and more subtle.
Yes.
So Panya can eradicate the Anusaya. Otherwise, one doesn't think about the eradication of Anusaya, just think of moment without attachment and aversion. And ditti at that very moment. But the anusaya is there, as long as it's not completely eradicated by right understanding.
I'm just wondering, when seeing, and then after seeing, we listen a lot, so I'm not so sure that we have the wrong understanding of it, but more ignorance more often than ditti.
It's
is
thinking.
That right?
It's thinking.
It's ditti.
So oh, no.
I don't
it's
see it.
Thinking.
Mm. Thinking.
Right now, thinking.
Mm. So it doesn't have to be with ditti all
anything
the time.
Can be object of thinking.
Yeah. But thinking about a visible object doesn't have to be ditti so often.
This is thinking again.
I don't get the point so well.
Because we're talking about different realities, but not the reality itself as the object, just the idea only. Otherwise, that will not be the difference between pariyatti and patipatti at all.
I'm inclined to think about the flowers or the house, but nothing else.
Trying? Oh, it's there by conditions.
It's by conditions, yes.
Yeah. It's the way Dhamma is.
But it's not more ignorance than anything
when
else.
When there is no understanding.
No understanding, right, yeah. But a wrong view, I don't know about that. It's the wrong view.
So what can a wrong view?
Only panya.
See, only panya. Of what degree?
It has to be developed already.
It's not pariyatti, which can know anything. As it is, as Dhamma, only Panya begins to know with direct awareness. So it's not missing the truth at all, because the characteristic of that reality appears as object. But does the deity appear as object right now? No. So no one knows about it.
We don't know. Just ignorance.
As long as it's not the direct object of awareness yet.
Usually just dreaming about all the things around us that we notice. Only dreaming.
What about the moment of trying?
Who is trying?
Just Dhamma.
Not then, but now. So it's only the answer, thinking about it, not the moment of directly experiencing it.
Because it's when you said that dhiti doesn't appear now, so I'd like to know when...
Like pasa does not appear, manasikara does not appear, so how can you know that this is pasa? As you'd like to know, this is dhiti.
But at the moment of trying, it's...
What appears?
Trying.
But as I, but as I, see? So it's not right understanding of it. Anything can appear by conditions. No selection.
Yeah, actually, so when you mentioned that at the moment of trying is sila pata paramasa, so but in terms of reality, it's the wrong view?
It's wrong view that conditions... It's wrong view that conditions the wrong practice at that moment, the wrong way.
But at that very moment, does a wrong view arise too?
It depends on what kind of trying we're talking about.
Trying to know the realities now, for example?
Who is trying?
The idea of self.
Can that be right view?
No.
I think if it's trying to know realities, yes, but earlier Nina was saying that when she sees that there's attachment or aversion, she wants to push it away, and there's trying involved there, but it's not necessarily wrong view, because it not necessarily involved with the development of the path. It's just like anyone could want to have not have so much strong aversion, for example.
But if she thinks that that is the way to have less,
she thinks that's the way. But there's not necessarily thinking that's the way. It's just wanting to have less. Like sometimes you want to have more pleasant feeling and less unpleasant feeling. That's not necessarily you're not necessarily thinking of doing a practice to eradicate or anything like that.
Even there's no idea but the way it is. Like those who try so much not to have it. They think that that's the way. Even they don't... Yeah?
They think that's the way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's thinking it's the way that is the...
Silapata pramasa.
Right, right. But just wanting to have more or less something isn't necessarily... in the realm of wrong practice. So we have to, when we say trying, we have to really identify what kind of trying we're talking about.
I hear about lopa with dhiti, so that would be the same thing, thinking you know a way to have
and,
less.
And what about lopa without dhiti?
It's just everywhere. The roof of lopa, which I like to hear about.
So only panya can know right then, instantly, when it arises.
It is a lopa with dhiti.
It doesn't matter with or without, only panya can understand that. Otherwise, it's just thinking about whether it's with or without dhiti. And it's gone, so impossible to know. That which has gone.
I think dhiti is also so common, like now seeing and an impression of my arm so quickly, and dhiti there, that is this trying to be aware of it or trying not to have it than sila bhata paramasa. So I think whenever it's trying not to have kusala or trying not to have akusala or trying to have, must be the wrong view, conditioning sila bhata paramasa immediately. I think it's very common even now during discussion.
Yeah, I'd like to clarify that. I guess I'm confused. Lopa with Diti, you're saying, like we were talking last night about the coffee cup and seeing a cup and thinking it's a cup, that would be with Diti.
Thinking again. Keep on thinking. And how can you know whether there is or there's not? By thinking, it's impossible.
I think that happens more often, that we are only thinking, but not necessarily with Diti.
No again, thought. Thinking.
Thinking, yeah.
So what she's saying is that now we're speculating about, now we're thinking or speculating about the story of Diti or the story of Atanu Diti to try and work out when it is or when it isn't. But actually it's only now when there is, when Panya arises, even Pariyatti level, that the characteristic can be known. Otherwise it's just thinking about the story of Diti, thinking about the story of Sila Bhata Paramasa.
But when it's there as object and Panya understands, no doubt, no expectation, no but speculation.
I think we've agreed that we don't know the characteristic of Diti. So this means that we have no way to understand what Diti is.
By you, but not by Sati and Panya.
Not we or you to know.
But, for example, if Sara says seeing the flash of her arm is Diti, now
I'm thinking,
but I could be gaining a wrong understanding of what Diti is. For example, I'm not saying that I am, but hearing people's explanation of what Diti is going to plant an understanding of it, which could be wrong or right, and I just feel the Buddha would explain clearly.
Just to know the difference between sammatiti and michatiti. That michatiti cannot understand anything at all.
So back to what we read yesterday about the two constituents of diti, would you like to bring it up?
Without giving the wording in the text, it was Tam quoted something which seemed to suggest there were two aspects of Diti, of not knowing and thinking that it's right, because at the moment of Diti it thinks it's right. What's your question?
No, because Phil just mentioned that if we don't hear the explanations of what Diti is, like other realities, we first need a description from someone who has direct experience of it. So if we don't have that that explanation, there's no condition for the understanding of it when it arises. So that's why I wanted to mention again about what we read yesterday, about what the text say about Diti. So what would be your comment about
that? Wrong or right, Diti?
Raw Diti in the sense of Micha Diti.
Micha Diti. Holding the microphone. Is that Diti?
Holding by itself?
No.
They can be or then cannot be. They can be or not. If there is
Now we don't talk about other moments.
No, at the moment.
See,
no.
You can say that no. It's the beginning of understanding moment with Diti and moment without Diti. Why? No Diti?
No Diti because no thinking that this is truly a microphone, and it is truly a hand which is holding microphone.
Just being attached?
Yes.
Is the attachment appearing?
In thinking only. Sorry about it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's very clear. And this is the point earlier, you know, like the example I gave, which is just to show how quickly ditti can come in and how wrong practice silabhata paramasa can come in so quickly, even while holding the wrong view, whilst holding a microphone. It's just an idea that this is a microphone or this is an arm as soon as they're seen. It's not if someone else thinks, oh, this is what I should do in order to understand whether there's ditti or not. That's wrong practice. So it always has to come back to now and the experience at this moment, not what someone else is saying or doing or anything. That's what's meant by very naturally.
I may have caught that wrong, but just holding the microphone, picking up the microphone to talk, without thinking about it, there's no ditti there. But thinking, well, I guess there might. Well, if one thought, this is a microphone, this is real, this is it, that's with ditti, it's impossible to tell, isn't it?
So, this is hardness. So I like it. This hardness is I learned about it, and now the characteristic appears. But it's the story, and this loba too, because I like it.
What appears, one at a time, just one at a time. Ignorance, not understanding. No matter how much one tries and tries and tries, it's impossible to really understand whether there's ditti or not. So only panya, the developed panya, no selection for any object, whether it's ditti or not. If at that moment panya is aware of a reality which is not ditti, it can understand that characteristic as a reality, doesn't belong to anyone. No thinking about ditti, whether it's there or not. At moment of thinking, whether it's there or not, is the idea of self. Idea that there is I, because there's no understanding of touching and that which is touched, or whatever appears. That's why the more one learns to understand realities, the more one can see the anatta-ness. No way to have not thinking about everything. It's there by conditions. They can be thinking about ditti, they can be thinking about this and that, but panya can understand the nature of a reality at a time, when it appears as it is. When it appears. There are cittas, cetasika, many things, what appear. If any one of them does not appear at all, how can panya know it or understand it as a reality? So it's not the speculation or expectation, it's only the study, the way to have less and less attachment to the object, to know it. So we learn to have less attachment, learn to understand anatta, not to expect or try to have more understanding as I or my understanding. Very subtle to have less and less attachment with understanding. So just talk about realities. What about I think? It's not important because it's only thinking.
Here, it's only the developed panya which can know whether there is ditti, then we are inclined to think, oh, that's too high.
Certainly, too because high it has to be patti-patti only.
Yeah. I'm inclined to think like you.
Not for us.
Yes, one
but
day.
But it's not right to think like that. Because
one day.
The Buddha taught it.
When
so
time comes.
It is possible when time comes, you say, yes.
When there are conditions for such moment.
Yes.
Lodwig really appreciated the, oh, I think is it the verse of Dhammapada? What was it? He really, I think at the beginning of Perfections, when he reads Perfections on the audio, he quoted a sutta that he really appreciated.
Yeah, the Buddha told us, and he wouldn't have told us if it was impossible.
Yeah.
Lodwig liked that.
He really, really appreciated that. Yeah.
And we can, in your question about, oh, well, is there ditti? I mean, I would never say there isn't any ditti because we know as an asava that it's so subtle. So all we can say is, okay, it doesn't appear now or it's not known now. But we can't say that because it's not evident or it doesn't appear so that there's no ditti. Mm-hmm.
There are many realities appearing right now, see? But no understanding of any of them. That's why we learn to hear and consider and to understand little by little that what reality is. There must be a characteristic of each reality to be known as it's a reality, not anyone at all.
Sometimes I think even the Buddha helped to discourage us from wanting to know too much. For example, in the simile of the Ganges River, where there's many currents flowing into the river and it's impossible to separate the different currents. And you talked about a soup once, or some kind of food where there's the sugar and there's the eggs and there's the milk, and that we can't sort them out. And I always think that when I think about chetasikas, there are so many chetasikas arising, for example, with the moment of kusala, and to hope to know them all, as I feel, is just beyond understanding for me.
It will eliminate just a little attachment to wanting to know.
So we are talking about ditti and trying to know ditti, and it doesn't appear only to develop panya. But as Ajahn said, there are so many realities to be known, like seeing or hearing now, and that can be studied first, maybe. Or I shouldn't say first, but it depends what appears.
By conditions.
Yeah. But Nina, you wrote such a wonderful book on the chetasikas. And when I read it, I feel that I can appreciate and reflect on how the chetasikas function and what role they play, even if there isn't an understanding of them now or they don't arise now. I feel grateful to the Buddha for having such a deep understanding, and it's all so amazing and miraculous just to read about how dhammas function, even if it's just a story of Dhamma's functioning, I still feel it's very helpful. So I won't stop reading about chetasikas, even if they're not appearing now.
Really? No chetasikas appearing at all?
Appearing for awareness of the characteristics?
It appears, but panya cannot understanding as long as it's not enough accumulation of.
I think I get confused about experiencing and appearing and arising, and for me appearing means that there is awareness of it.
What about visible object is now appearing? For sure, whenever there is seeing, it's there. But to what? Ignorance or understanding or attachment?
Mm-hmm.
So it can appear to attachment also. It arises and appears, but not yet to panya. That depends. When time comes, as Ajahn says.
That's why we talk about this in order to have more understanding, to be conditioned for direct awareness by conditions. How difficult and subtle it is to understand reality right now as it is with detachment.
Detachment from the beginning.
It has to be like now, so fast and letting go all the time. Otherwise, it indicates that there's still wanting to know or something.
Yesterday we had a little bit more discussion about how some people, like Tom, have accumulations to study the details and try to work out the meaning. And she was saying, well, this, of course, there is lots of lobha, but there's also kusala interest. Otherwise, whilst cooking, one wouldn't pick up the Dharma and study it. And so some trying to work it out and some kusala interest. Anything else to ask about that?
Yes, yesterday in the evening we again discussed about that, and then we just remembered that one of the 10 kusala kamapata is also listening to the Dhamma. Or it can be also reading. And of course now we've been discussing with you a lot, so we understand that just reading, it doesn't mean anything. Even if the what is read is the Dhamma, if there's no understanding, it doesn't mean that there's kusala there. But on the other hand, because I think it was said in the context that Sarah, you mentioned that if one read the Dhamma without understanding of the realities which appear now, then is it useless, like any studying any other subject. So that's why I had that reflection that, but sometimes when there's no understanding of the realities which appear now, there can be kusala also is not at the level of understanding the realities.
It depends on why do you read, what for. Just for the sake of curiosity, or I will understand that, that's not right. But you know that by reading and considering, there will be the understanding more and more. Not you, but the understanding of reality. Then it's not motivated by the idea of self, by chanda, not by lobha, see?
I think what I was saying, that when it's just trying to collect details or just curiosity or just trying to work out what's what for oneself, then it's just like studying a science book or any other subject, because it has nothing then at those moments to do with understanding reality. But people think, well, even though it's just a lot of lobha and it's for myself, because it's Dharma, then it will condition pariyatti, and they think that then it's a condition for pariyatti. But what I was saying is, if it's just self and collecting information from the beginning, we can't say it's a condition for pariyatti.
What about just for the sake of understanding? Because one knows that if there is no words, like the words of the teachings of the Buddha, it's impossible to understand whatever appears at all. And to know is worthwhile than not knowing whatever appears. Life is useless. Just to be born, eat and sleep, life or dislike, doing many, many things and then die. Never remember what has happened in that life after one is born. Next life.
So when reading the text, there'd be different moments. There'd be some moments that are kusala and some that are, as Sarah says, are when we forget about why we're reading. And at those moments, it's the same as when one's reading something that's not connected to Dhamma. But it's not to say that reading the text is useless. That's not the point. The point is there are just different moments, and some are gosra and some are not.
What about the kusala at the level of just understanding what is wholesome and what is unwholesome? Because some people, when they read the Dhamma, they don't get the deep teaching of anattaness, but then they get the understanding about what is kusala and what is akusala. Then those moments of understanding are still kusala, even though there's no understanding of anattaness?
Just to understand what? Just for the sake of understanding correctly, yeah. What's what? Not just wanting to remember and to know or to answer.
So even if it's not a Dhamma book, if it's something else that's just encouraging dana, then it can be kusala, but just limited.
And very seldom.
And why do you read Tipitaka or commentaries to Tipitaka? Because each word is valuable. It can condition different kinds of kusala.
For example?
Virya, to know that there cannot be right understanding developed without virya, right one. Even it's so very difficult, but virya can. Keep on listening and considering, because it means a lot, the whole life, for the whole life. So useful. By knowing that, one learns, one reads, one think about it, consider what's the truth, what's true and not true, and how deep it is. If there's no time at all to consider, one cannot go deeply to the deep meaning of each word at all. Like Dhamma, like Nama, it's not just be able to know that Nama can experience an object. What about now? It's not known by hearing that it's called Nama. But this moment, how can one know that this is the reality which experiences, and that is the reality which cannot experience? And what is what, like now? What is seen? The characteristic which is seen, we don't have to say that it cannot experience, but by being familiar to that characteristic, you can see the difference between that which is seen and the seeing. And it can remind you that at the moment of understanding a little bit about visible object which is seen, it's not the moment of understanding seeing. So it can be conditioned to see that, what about seeing? It's not that which is seen. To really understand what is meant by that which cannot experience and that which can experience. Not only the word, but the moment of being or getting familiar with the characteristic which it is, when it appears.
Thank you.
virya effort, right effort, is a very good example of everything we've been talking about, because if there is some understanding of dharmas as conditioned and anatta, and one reads about virya, one appreciates how there must be virya now, otherwise there couldn't be listening and considering what is said, there couldn't be any understanding at all. But usually people will read the texts and read about four right efforts and this and that, and they have an idea of trying to do something or trying to understand or trying to wear. So reading about it just leads to more wrong view and more wrong practice because of no understanding. So I think this is what Ajahn was saying at the beginning. If one's reading the text without any understanding of realities now, just leads to more wrong practice. But if there is some understanding and there is some considering about reality at this moment, it can help one to appreciate different dharmas that are arising now, that are there in order to support understanding to perform its function.
So to become familiar, you said, to become more used to characteristics of nama and rupa. It's the way
to know it as nama, or to know it as rupa. Not just think that it's nama.
No.
Or call it nama.
But it's the hardest thing to understand.
That is the wisdom of the Buddha.
Yeah, yes. To know that the visible object is different from seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And not only now, hearing now, but later on, when we go about our other things, to consider again and again. And then we are forgetful.
Yeah, to understand the difference between pariyatti and patipatti.
Yes. But it can only be known by when it's patipatti, the difference.
Mm-hmm. So we understand the difference between what we call pariyatti and patipatti.
Yes, because when it is pariyatti, it's not yet possible to know that visible object is
it just know
about it, that mm-hmm. is different
from
seeing.
But it has to be like this, exactly the same.
Yes.
At the moment, appreciate the teaching, so...
What is that, Asha? At the moment, appreciate the teaching, even that not understanding what he's saying about. So.
It's that what you said. All realities are there. See? Not you.
So, but what is the main characteristic of that moment?
Thinking. Is it not thinking? When it's not seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, there must be only thinking.
And this is kusala movement.
Right thinking is kusala, wrong thinking is akusala. That's why we can imagine or just speculate that even it's not the direct understanding at that very moment, when is the wrong viriya and when is the right viriya? Because viriya is almost every moment. It can be right now. Would you like to drink? Or would you like to listen? Or would you like to think about realities? Not you at all, but different conditions for each moment. It's virya. Anytime. Even when you wake up in the middle of the night, what kind of virya is there? Wanting the way to sleep, or what is reality is there. It can be thinking about it, and it can be conditioned for understanding it. It depends. So you can see different types of virya. Just wanting to sleep, to go on sleeping, to try to sleep, or to think about whatever appears by conditions. different virya. Even it's not the object of direct awareness, but you can see the difference between the two. Because wanting, you know that it's attached to the moment which is sleeping. And what about reality right now? Or even just begin to think about it, whether what it is will lead to understanding with awareness. Right now, virya is there. What kind? Even to know it needs time to think about it, because it's not the object of direct awareness.
I recall reading in the Perfections where you say that tiredness is akusala, and I was a bit puzzled by that. Could you say something about that? That tiredness is akusala.
Is it dana? Tired of giving away, or giving away? Tired of sila, or sila arises.
Oh, I see. You mean tired, not the energy to give or
to be wholesome.
Like that, to be wholesome. You don't mean just the physical tiredness.
It includes. Yeah, because ignorance is there. I am tired.
Okay, so it's at that level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was a bit puzzled by that when I
anything that. Which is not object of understanding. And do you like tiredness?
Do we like? if it leads to sleep, probably we do. Lopa likes it.
So a arahan experiences pain but no tiredness.
You mean tiredness of the body or what? When it's of the body, even arahata.
Yeah, painful.
But it's a situation again. Tiredness. I'm tired or tired of the body.
Just right now.
Yeah.
Tired?
No, not now. But I think that most of the day we enjoy stories. And
tired
not
of hearing.
No?
No?
Not at all.
Tired of sitting.
No.
Keep moving all the time.
No, but what I think about Panya and the development of Panya, that is most of, instead of considering realities, we are most of the time really involved in stories about conventional things and situations and the people and the whole day thinking like that, instead of considering Nama and Rupa.
Tired of thinking all day, or not being tired to understand it.
But it's the accumulations. The yes. Accumulations. Yes.
Right understanding can see only the accumulation. Yes. Not that which is not accumulated at all.
Even a little understanding, a weak understanding, can come to see it.
Yeah, everything right now, see? Very natural and every reality.
Even pariyatti level.
Vatipatti has to conform with pariyatti.
Yes. So it means when there is now, this moment, pariyatti, it can already understand
When one says that it's pariyati, it means that that understanding is not the direct understanding of a reality, that's all. But that can be the understanding of the story of realities.
And that we are involved in stories.
It doesn't matter, because when it's panya, no wrong view. Panya and wrong view cannot arise together.
No, no. So even then, it can be some understanding already.
When it's understanding.
Yes.
And, you always stress daily life, and we all stress daily life. But there's thinking, for example, at the end of a busy day, when there have been many incidents and events, and at the time of the experiencing the events, there isn't a chance to appreciate or think about what the dhammas that are functioning at that time, but at the end of the day, when we look back on the day, we can reflect on what happened, and I think that kind of thinking can be valuable too.
But Ajahn would say, gone already, past already, so we cannot really
so
understand.
Just, no.
The self appreciate it,
yeah,
and enjoy it too.
Yeah, enjoys wanting to understand what happened, and it's all
with the idea of what?
Self. I'm not sure I can agree completely, Ajahn, because I do feel that there can be moments, again, in that reflection that are not about self. There can be moments of understanding in there and appreciating that it is just dhammas.
What about no clinging to the past? What's there right then?
There's probably clinging, but there could be, I think there could be moments of understanding.
Let's think about two different situations, thinking and clinging, and no clinging, just what is there to be understood. It indicates that highly developed panya, which can letting go the past or the clinging to the past. It doesn't matter whether it is very, very ugly, akusala, it's gone. Panya is aware of only reality which appears, and is meant by not clinging to the past or the future.
But maybe if there's reflection on something that happened in the day, the next time that situation comes, there might be a wiser response.
That's the way Dhamma is, no control. And Panya knows what is what. What degree of understanding is there? If you try to force, then it's not right understanding of anattaness at all.
I used to, I guess 3 years ago when I came, I used to become so, I would almost say angry on the internet list when somebody would say, well, the bad deed, it's gone. And I would say, well, it's not gone because it's karma that we performed and there'll be a result of it.
But where is it?
It's gone.
What is there after that reality has gone?
Seeing, hearing, thinking.
Reality is rolling on.
Asiya, nusiya. All kusla and akusla, which has happened, even is left. But what is left after it's gone is the asiya, nusiya.
And also, in reflecting on the deeds that were done during the day, how accurate is the recollection then of what were the realities at the time?
Just thinking with the various degrees of understanding that can't be known at the time of thinking, but could be in there.
Thinking with understanding. Because we just, you just you're just thinking about things that have been done. So, and you're characterizing those things in a certain ways, but it may or may not be an accurate characterization, sure, because sure. all that time has passed, and so you can't recollect them accurately.
But the thinking will be happening anyways, so at least if there's...
Don't
mind. Yeah. thinking about realities
any thought,
rather than thinking about stories.
Any kind of
people.
Thinking, yeah, is conditioned.
Well, to some extent, I appreciate what you're saying, because reflecting on maybe something that is done during the day that is perhaps harmful to another, or you know, whether it's been less patience or unkind speech or something like that, surely that thinking has the possibility of conditioning maybe restraint the next time we meet that person or we're with that person or something like that.
Until
conditions are different.
Until it's useless, because it's only thinking. No matter how much you think in the right way or wrong way or fancy way or anything, it's only thinking.
It seems, though, that implies that no matter what one does, not to think about it is okay. Maybe that goes back to what you were saying, Phil. And yet,
thinking is gone like other realities.
Yes.
I think as long as we appreciate that kind of reflection is just one element in all the conditions, it's okay. If we think that our thinking is going to stop it from happening next time, that's going to be a disappointment.
That's true. not necessarily stop it. Yeah. But
it's
one
factor.
It's like taking
help.
Responsibility or something.
What about it doesn't matter at all whether one thinks this way or that way, the use for a, that is so very useful or it is helpful, and understanding reality which just appears.
Like
until then, don't mind at all what thinking is about.
So, better to consider the thinking.
Mm-hmm.
This is just thinking.
To understand it's not content. Me. Yeah.
In the suttas, there are instances of monks who confess or to the Buddha that there was agusala, and the Buddha explains that when there is the acknowledgement of one's misdeeds and the resolution, I'm not sure how it goes exactly. Acknowledgement of one's misdeeds and the intention not to do the same thing again, that is progress in the Dhamma. So I wonder whether people have the idea that thinking about the events of the day and acknowledging where there's been agusala is perhaps similar to these instances.
Didn't Buddha teach to understand it as the self?
Yes, he did. But he didn't mention that particular aspect at the time when he's saying that, talking about what is progress in the Dhamma in terms of acknowledging agusala.
Because that's the way Dhamma is. Sometimes kusala, and sometimes agusala, and sometimes vipaka, kiriya, that's all. Just understand all as Dhamma in the end.
But what Jonathan just mentioned is also prescribed to the monks. The bhikkhus have to do that, not to do that again.
I think that includes all beings, human beings, okay? Because it has to be sila and samadhi and panya together, little by little, before there can be the understanding of reality as not self.
So, for example, whilst encouraging Rahula to reflect on what's done and so on, it's actually whilst reflecting, develop understanding at that time, is what it's meant, because just still just different dharmas.
I'd forgotten about that sutta. I used to love that one about... But if Rahula was told to reflect on what had been done, he would be thinking of a story of some event. I don't think he was being told to reflect on the reality at that moment. It must have been a conventional deed of some kind that he was.
No, it was always implied because he was teaching Rahula about all the kamnas, the five kamnas, about nama and rupa. That is very well explained in the commentary to the Mahārāhulopāda Sutta. So it's really always implied, even if the Buddha didn't mention it, to have understanding of nama and rupa.
Now. at that time.
No, now.
To have understanding now. To have understanding now.
Achan, when you said even it's thinking the right way or wrong way, it's still thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Can you further explain about that?
Yes, it's thinking.
Because as something.
It's not seeing, it's not hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. So it has to be thinking.
Yes, so, but thinking with understanding can condition for the understanding further.
Thinking is thinking. It doesn't matter at all. As long as it's not self who is thinking. It conditions by sankhara khanda, not by ourself.
Sankhara khanda.
50 cetasikas. Panya is there. Satta is there. Sati is there. Performing its particular function. Not anyone at all.
And also when you said about feels the bad deeds already gone, but what is left? What do you say about what's left? Is the
anusaya, latent tendencies in citta, since it has arisen, it cannot get away, it's there. But as anusaya, accumulated.
So what about in the same way with thinking?
Yes, anything. So, yeah. So all kusala and akusala, because seeing cannot think, hearing cannot think. At moment of thinking, it is kusala or akusala for those who are not arahata. That's why each moment of kusala and akusala, it accumulates and accumulates on and on and on. Which can condition different thoughts or thinking. Uncontrollable, like now.
I like this sound.
Yes, by accumulation.
Tom, I think you're saying that when it's thinking about, say, the past deed that's done in the past, that thinking can lead to understanding, but what Ajahn is saying is that, like now, there's thinking about something we did wrong, something we spoke wrong this morning. What is precious, or what the pariyatti is not just thinking and thinking, but understanding the reality now. So if the reality now is thinking, that is much more precious than just thinking about something that's gone completely. Or if someone says something about, well, it's gone, and there's anger now. Anger is real, so anger can be the object of understanding. Visible object now can be the object of understanding. So it always comes back to what is appearing right now. Otherwise, one's just lost in the story of concepts about what's gone in the past and not understanding anything about what appears now.
But Do we agree that it's important to understand our accumulations?
Right now, what occurs
so
depends on conditions.
Do we understand our accumulation only by what is arising now?
Certainly.
Okay, because I guess my feeling is that accumulations would be reflecting on tendencies.
That's the story of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, the idea of a global set of accumulations is the story of an individual, but anything that is arising now in terms of mental factors is accumulations. But it can only be known that which arises at the present moment. So there's no way of knowing, as it were, the extent of the latent tendencies.
So like you said before, that if we're thinking back on what happened that day, there's no reason to think that the understanding will be correct. It will just be...
It just shows the accumulation of
wanting
to... thinking at this moment and clinging to...
Ah, so that's very interesting. I hadn't thought of accumulation
just
as just...
the accumulation of clinging to oneself and my accumulations at this moment, and this is why... When we were saying yesterday, no point in thinking about this person and that person's accumulations, because it's only what is appearing now that can be known, the accumulation at this moment, lobha at this moment, anger at this moment.
So the commentaries that talk about different practices being suitable for people of different accumulations, how do we... there are commentaries who speak of, well, this practice is good for this sort of person, and are those wrong? Are they mistaken?
Mm-hmm. And who knows? The teacher cannot know. Other people cannot know. Only you yourself realizes of your own accumulation for such object. Like Kunina, she liked what, just a moment ago?
The bird.
The sound.
Yeah,
the bird.
She has accumulation to like it.
Bill's talking about, you know, when people are characterized as having a certain kind of personality.
Assuming.
That's what you're asking about.
Assuming.
Right?
Can you know how much attachment to what object Kun Phil has accumulated? If Funina didn't talk about...
I wouldn't dare think but Phil himself may think that he is this kind of person or that kind of person.
Until Panya is there, you know your own self that is accumulated. Like Kunina, if she didn't say that she liked the bird sound, you don't know her accumulation.
That's very helpful. That's a new way to understand accumulation.
Yes, as not me. It will lead to more and more understanding of realities. Whatever arises, even seeing, is conditioned by karma. Like of this light is conditioned by previous accumulation of such object. The way one walk, eat, or do anything is conditioned by accumulation too. Even the manners of speech and sitting and walking by different jittas can condition such the habits of different manners. See? Very, very intricate. Otherwise, it's I. But what he taught is so helpful to develop the understanding of no self at all. So there can be the understanding of accumulation when whatever arises and appears.
And will there be remembering that for me or not? There's no way. To say, now I hear you explain that and it's so clear, but then it'll be gone.
Sanya keeps it but vitaka, thinks about it or not.
Sanya's busy collecting a lot of other garbage as well.
Sanya remembers, yeah.
And I think that's also why Jan often mentions it depends whether there's any understanding, because if we just hear details and terms and explanations and that aren't understood at all, it's just forgotten, and then a few years later we ask the same. So, but if there is actual understanding, then it's remembered.
It's any time when you think about what you have heard about realities?
Of course.
By conditions, by accumulations, the way it works, who knows? It's now working.
And Sarah, the... It seems like it's the same question, but it's never the same question.
Not the same sound.
My point is just that, for example, if one hears about nimitta and it's not really understood, then one goes away and it's not clear, and then one comes back and one needs to hear again. But when one understands what is said, then it's remembered.
I'm not sure about that. I think it can be forgotten, but then it's heard again. I don't think there's any guarantee that when something is understood, there's understanding at the time that it will be remembered. Again, it's anatta and due to conditions.
No expectation at all by conditions. That's why no matter how long time ago one had developed understanding, and there is no condition for thinking about it for a long time. But that which has been accumulated can be conditioned for a sudden understanding. Like those who went to see the Buddha, only a few words, they could attain enlightenment. So Panya now cannot go away, fly away at all. It's always there, accumulated.
And so asking the same question is also about deepening understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Layers and layers.
Firmer.
Deeper and firmer.
And just talking about past bad experiences, Phil gave another example the other evening about a friend who had a very bad childhood experience, and someone who is not interested in the Dharma, and what one might say to someone who's not interested in the Dharma, who's had this bad experience that maybe they think about. And my comment was that I would just say, well, it's gone, and the problem now is just the thinking and the worrying about it, because it's completely happened. But people thought this was not appropriate comment to make to a beginner. So what would you say to someone who tells you about their very bad childhood experience but who has no interest in the Dharma?
No interest. So it's no use to talk about.
But I thought of that too, about this.
Right, so you could say that seeing, and that is different from hearing about, different from thinking about an experience in the past as a child, and the hearing and the thinking are different, and the seeing is different, and it shows that it's only one at a time, and it is fallen away. So when there is the seeing at that moment, she doesn't think of her childhood anymore. Mm. In that way, little by little, she may come to understand different moments. Maybe that can help.
Thank you, Nina. That's very good. I hope I remember that. When they're seeing now, the story is gone.
Yes, and like the smelling and the way she is making use of odor to help people, to cure people at different moments. Then she thinks of the well-being of other people, and then she cannot think at the same time of her childhood experience.
Well, thank you, Nina. That's beautiful.
And what about that person who is just then interested in sports? Not interested about seeing and hearing and thinking at all.
So if no interest, it doesn't matter at all, because that's just accumulation. So if one can't help, that's all right too. It's just condition for equanimity, because it's no expectation. Yeah.
I think that the right word is helpful to those who have interest in it. Like talking to the driver, for example, I don't mean the particular one, whether that person is interested in the question or not. Or the story about realities.